been a part of that.
We are looking for people who will partner with us while we partner with God. We seek out kids from the poorest of families who, without the Living Proof program, would probably never have the chance to know Christ, let alone have an education. When you invest in the lives of these children, they receive their very own Bible. They get to learn about Jesus in their club meetings that happen twice a week. They participate in various Living Proof events and camps, as well as the annual Christmas party, which is their most favorite part and highlight of their whole year. At this party, they receive their brand new school uniform and all kinds of treats, like Coke, Sprite, cake, and cookies. This is so special to them because they only get these things one time a year. By making a $30 a month investment into the lives of these children in Zimbabwe, you can make a difference that will have a generational impact. We have so many kids just waiting to hear that they have been connected with a sponsor from the U.S. Sign up today to change the life of a child.
And giving praise from the bottom of their feet to the top of their head. They are focused. 75% of them do not have televisions. They don't have electric. Don't have running water. They don't have leagues and whatever. They don't have options. They have a focus on the hope they have in Jesus Christ. And that is taking residence in the heart of Africa, because you folks are helping to share the gospel in places you'll never go. I grew up just a few miles from here, Powell County, Kentucky. I grew up, my high school history teacher and basketball coach would become my brother-in-law, and we've been watching basketball for 48 years together. Still hanging out, still enjoying the journey of life. I watched him give his life to Christ to help lead a community towards the Lord, and still making a witness for the cause of Christ. I'm thankful to God to be at Journey. I've known Randy and team here for many years. As he mentioned, over 40 years we've been hanging out together. And I'm telling you, I had never heard Randy preach, but I always loved the sermon he lived. I'm telling you, I watched a guy who could make a difference in people's lives because he's the genuine article, a heart for God, a heart for people, and a contagious spirit. He has come here to grow old with you. Some guys are always writing the resume for the next site. He said, plant me in Woodford County and God help me make a difference. And you folks are the result in seeing that. And the best years are yet to come. The finest moments are yet to come. Most of you here may have received, as you came in, a little brochure about our work in Africa. If you did not get one of these, raise your hand if you might. We have a couple ladies, Rachel and Leslie, and others. See the hands. Just keep those lifted up for a moment while we talk about that. I want you to make sure every person has one of these. The life of this work is 67 years old. 67 years in the making. Journey Christian Church has joined with life-giving churches across the country to make possible a generational impact in Central Africa. Only in heaven will you fully understand the full reach of this work. Someone has said anybody can count the seeds in an apple, only God can count the apples in a seed. Little did I know that when I was 14 years old, that the school teacher and the coach who was keeping me in Keys so I could go to the gym and do my laundry, take a hot shower, and even stay the night many times, play midnight basketball, that man who kept me in those Keys would eventually become my brother-in-law. 48 years later, still touching lives, making a difference. I believe that you all in heaven will see a harvest from Central Africa that'll amaze you, and thousands upon thousands who've come to Christ because of Journey Christian Church's faithfulness to raise up leaders. John Pemberton was part of the D-Day invasion in Normandy. He's the gentleman on the left there. His airplane overshot Normandy in the storm of the landing and crash landed. Most of the guys did not make it. He crawled out and became a prisoner of war immediately. He began to pray a special prayer. God, get me out of this POW camp, this concentration camp. Get me home, and I'll go wherever you want me to be. Not knowing halfway around the world, Denny Pruitt is in the Pacific in a trench praying a similar prayer, and they landed at Kentucky Christian on the GI Bill, praying in Grayson, Kentucky, for God to use their lives, and he would take them to the heart of Africa. 67 years later, over 20,000 students are now on 29 campuses. 29 campuses. They are honoring God. They are in chapels. They are learning about the Bible every day. They're lifting up Christ and preparing for a generational impact. They believe they're beyond a mission. They become a movement. I talk to these young leaders and they're saying, we're not just here for Zimbabwe. We've all learned English because English is the speaking language for Central Africa because of an English colonies from 100 years ago. English is on the signs. English is a lot of places. What happens is they're taking their language, their gospel, and they believe if they plant hundreds and hundreds of life-giving churches across Central Africa, from Mozambique to Zambia and on west, they believe that they plant thousands of Christians who are making a difference, touching hundreds of thousands, they can stop Islam from sweeping a continent. Right now, Islam is coming from the north, pell-mell, and they are determined to lift high the cross of Christ, the gospel of Jesus, that'll stand and it'll keep Islam from sweeping a continent. They feel they have a mission. We're training preachers and teachers across the nation. I just returned a few days ago. I want to say I'm looking forward to Eric going with me. I'm looking forward to Randy and Dan going with me sometime. If you can spare them at some point, a couple of weeks there would absolutely revolutionize. They come home and kiss the ground that America's on because they got roads over there that you haven't seen yet. I'm telling you, you can go 8 hours on roads that are full of potholes. I grew up in eastern Kentucky and beyond, down towards Breathitt and Perry County. Those look like super highways compared to Zimbabwe. I'm training preachers and teachers, high school young leaders being equipped. Last couple of years, 944 were baptized in the year of 2022, and over 1,000 and some in the last couple of years. We have 150 acres that has been sequestered. We're now gleaming from all the other campuses, and we're bringing to a campus called Living Proof where they will live with us. Potential preachers in high school, potential teachers and leaders. They will live on campus and be discipled and nurtured and mentored. We're starting the process younger because their hunger is ferocious to share Christ. They are becoming a walking, breathing, gospel-sharing team. And there are going to be 1,000 students that will eventually be on this campus. And I want you to pray for that. Two-thirds of it's about done. You see this next picture, the cafeteria? The cafeteria will seat 1,000 kids. On your pape right here, if you can help sponsor one of those kids for $30 a month, we want to welcome you to do that. We're hopeful several. That QR right there, you can take your camera and get that. And we do have, for those who sign up today, you will take home a Living Proof t-shirt, living proof that this church matters. This church is making a difference, and you're living proof there's a loving God and a living Savior, and the heart of Africa is going to shine for Christ. The Wall Street Journal says that the heart and the epicenter of Christianity will be sub-Sahara Africa in 30 years. Why is that? They're undistracted. They do not have the options we have. They're undiluted. And when they lock in on the gospel of hope, what they're saying is this is the Wall Street Journal. It used to be that it was Jerusalem, then it was Europe, then it was America. They're saying that the future that'll be sending missionaries around the world 30 years from now, sub-Sahara Africa is raising up leaders by the thousands upon thousands. Some of them, one young man said, we're preparing to come back to America because it looks like you need some missionaries. It was a frigid, cold January in National Airport, Washington, D.C. 74 people boarded an Air Florida flight. They were dreaming of freshly squeezed orange juice and some time under the palm trees, a little relaxation time. When thousands of feet into the air, huge sheets of ice had formed on the wings. The plane began to free fall, thousands of pounds of people in plane. They had shouted out a mayday. They got back to Reagan. They got back to National Airport. They were headed towards the landing, and they fell short and took off this bridge. This bridge killed, there were four people died that day on the bridge. 74 started the flight. The helicopters had gotten there quickly because the mayday had been shown a couple of minutes earlier. They were very close. And as they dropped their lifelines down into the water, the current was moving quickly. Only a half a dozen people surfaced. They had fallen thousands of feet through icy waters, crashed, landed, and now they are disoriented and confused and floundering for life. One man by the name of Arne Williams is holding onto the tail of the plane. He reaches out and grabs a lady that's about to drown and go under, and he reaches her up and puts her into a lifeline, and you can see the cameras were ready. The TV people were close at hand. They watched her go up today on YouTube. You can see her going up into the helicopter safely. The cameras did not focus on Arne Williams, who was swept by the current under the ice. His last conscious deed was becoming a lifeline for somebody he didn't even know. Arne Williams, father of two, gave his life for somebody he did not even know. Standing on the banks is Lenny Skutnik, an office worker. He throws off his coat, throws off his shoes. He dives into the water, brings two to safety. It is so easy for us to stand on the banks of our salvation and our grace and our mercy, our hope in Christ, and spectate a world going through a cold current towards a Christless eternity. It is so easy for us today to get smug, to make commentary, to spectate. I'm telling you today, we need people who will get off the sidelines of life and get onto the playing floor and become lifelines to the worst, the least, the last, the lonely, the broken. For miles in every direction, there are people with a hunger for hope that's escalating. They know the government can't save them. They know that the Dow Jones won't rescue them. They understand that their savings isn't enough. Their health is evaporating. And as their bodies are beginning to sense the weariness of the culture and the crisis of the hour, I need God's help. Say that with me. I need God's help. The culture that doesn't know a book of the Bible, the culture that doesn't have a label of a denomination, the culture that's out of tune and out of sorts and thinks maybe God, I need God's help. And this church is a lifeline church. This is a church that'll bring the wounded, the least, the last, the lonely. Now, I think today our world's in a cold current going towards a Christless eternity. The judgment day is real. Heaven and hell are weighing in the balances. It is all too often easy for us to hold on to our lifeline of grace and not share it. Somebody shared the lifeline of hope with you. That's why you're here. They persisted through your avoidance. They risked rejection. They called when you didn't answer. They would not give up praying for you and inviting and encouraging you and nurturing and helping. And today you're here because there are people along the way, moms and dads and grandparents, that prayed for us when we didn't have a sense enough to pray for ourselves. And now time for us to become a lifeline. Who's going to be here Easter 2024 because you prayed, because you reached? You got a card here, I think, that was sent out Good Friday and Easter. Invite a friend. I want to encourage you to pick those up and begin praying over who is it that needs at your work site. Who is it that down the street you begin to pray and walk, meet and greet, stand and shine in your neighborhood? I believe that from this church, there are hundreds who've yet to come to Christ that are right now within our midst, a third service. I believe you have opportunities to reach dozens of families in the coming weeks and months. I'm thankful to God for Journey Christian Church, a lifeline who seeks and saves the lost, who's training and equipping. Pray for Eric. He's getting ready to go to Africa with us. He's in for a life-changing experience. He's only a few weeks away. I mean, when he comes back, he may sing a new song and dance a new dance. These kids dance. I haven't learned that yet, Randy. I watch it, I enjoy it, I tap, I clap. But man, when they start singing, I saw one whole row, they were so in tune with their dance, if one of them had fallen, it'd have been like dominoes, all of them gone. I was preaching to 750 kids, and it was 102 outside, and we're under a tin roof. And they're wearing these jackets because they got good grades. The principal gave them the permission to take off their jackets because it was over 100 degrees, and the tin roof was radiating. You know what? They smiled from ear to ear, and they were attentive. They're hungry. They know they only have a brief window. Many of them have buried millions of their parents in diseases, in wars. And so 20,000 kids, about 6,000 to 7,000 of them live with us. And I'm thankful to God for many of you all who will help pick up a child and change their eternal trajectory. Their lives will never again be the same as they're woven through Living Proof Ministries. I'm thankful for Rachel and Leslie being here this morning. Rachel, Leslie, stand up again. I want them to know who you are. These are people who have been there. They've touched it. They've done it. And they're going to be helping some of you here today. Thank you all for what you do. They cover my bases from the backside. I'm traveling. I'm going in different places around the world. And I can always call and pick up Leslie or Rachel. They're on the phone, and they get a lot of help. Read with me 2 Timothy. I want you to see something. In 2 Timothy 2. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace. 2 Timothy 2:1. You therefore, Journey Christian Church, be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. Make this to be a grace place, he says. God's grace greater than my disgrace. Say that with me. God's grace greater than my disgrace. And the things that you've heard from me say among many witnesses, entrust these truths to faithful men, to faithful women, to faithful young people who will be able to teach others. You must therefore endure hardship as a good soldier of the cross of Christ. Notice this. Entrust these truths to faithful men. Faithful women, what are these truths of a Lifeline Church? Just take these down if you're taking notes. Three things. There is the Lifeline truth that God created us with meaning and purpose and direction. That God has given us a thumbprint unlike any other. We're more than a bundle of flesh and bones making our way from the cradle to the grave. God has given us a divine imprint, a heartbeat, a DNA code unlike any other in all of creation. In my middle teens in Powell County High School, I had become a good student of a secular system. I began to abandon everything my parents had tried to teach me. I ran from the church and the Bible, and I ran from every influence. I began to run hard into the world. I began to think, and skeptically, that Christians were emotionally weak and intellectually frail and just didn't understand science. Or if they just understood history. I thought that maybe they were just nice people who needed friends. And I had friends. I'm glad they had someplace to go. I was the project for a couple of people at the church, Betty Boodle Curtis. And you remember Bruce Templeton and his wife. We went to high school together. I was their weekly project for the prodigal. And a couple of times a month, I'd go to their little Bible club, and we'd have fun together. And I'd think, well, this is great. They prepared well. But I was not really believing a lot of anything around me. I had an uncle who would not give up on me. My aunt and uncle, Johnny and Karen, they would let me come to southern Indiana to work in the chicken factories around there day and night and never charge me any room and board. After I graduated from high school, they knocked on my door and said, you know, we haven't charged, I thank you all. You haven't charged a dime for anything. We want you to do one thing. Take a week. You've worked all the way through all your vacations, every Christmas, every Thanksgiving, every. Chickens don't know the calendar. They lay eggs anyway. Hundreds of thousands of chickens laying eggs. Somebody better be there. And I was the one that was glad to do it. And they said, go to camp with us for 1 week. That'll be our payment. During that week, I'm watching this science film, Moody Science, on the great exchange of the heart and the cardiovascular. And I'm watching that heartbeat. And I'm watching the blood flow. Then you can take your index finger and press it against your thumb, and it'll turn a little bit white because it's taking blood to every cell. If it doesn't take blood to that cell, those cells become gangrene, could become toxic. It takes blood to every part, every organ. I'm sitting there thinking, man, that's a roadmap. That's engineering. That's craftsmanship. This is robotics. Somebody engineered this. There's got to be a God. At the end of the film, it said at the cross of Christ, the blood of Jesus took the toxin of our sin and gave us the life-giving oxygen of His grace. The great exchange of my sins for His grace. I prayed with that guy in that film, and in 3 weeks I drove east on 64 to Kentucky Christian. I had a ton of questions I wanted answers to. It changed. One day can change the trajectory of your life. One decision, God can take your life. And today, one decision from being a spectator to a servant. One decision from being a tight, stingy, walking, taking Christian to a giving, serving, living Christian. From being someone who just makes commentary to somebody who makes a difference. One decision can take your life from being someone who's been bitter to becoming grace-filled. Someone who has been fearful to becoming courageous. God created and designed, and the great exchange in Psalms 51, David said, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and restore within me a right spirit." Let me say this. The God who created the universe wants to recreate in me this morning a new heart. I mean a bitter heart for a graceful heart. A gossiping heart to an encouraging heart. What could happen if those people who have been bitter and had been giving gossip right and left become the encouraging, the lifters up, the serving, the giving, the sacrificing? We'll create a current of love and life that's unmistakable to Woodford County, unmistakable to Central Kentucky. This can be a light set on a hill that refuses to be hid. Lifeline Church is convinced that God not only creates, but He recreates. Our very existence is a reminder that verse 8 is true. Look down to verse 8. Remember, Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Let me say this. When they see cars in the parking lot, they think there's people who really believe in the resurrection. Great Bible fact number 2, He created, but also He raised His Son Jesus from the dead to give us hope everlasting. I am the way, the truth, and life. The God of creation is the author of life and resurrection hope. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. We are more than conquerors through Christ who strengthens us. Because of the resurrection, you can't threaten me with heaven. This morning in the midst of Red Square in Moscow, Russia, lie the bodily remains of an atheist by the name of Vladimir Lenin. Lenin lies in state in a crystal clear casket. That's his body in state today, and on the outside of his crystal clear casket, thousands of Russians file by as a national monument every year. The plate says on the outside of this casket, "Here lies the body of Vladimir Lenin. He was the greatest leader of all peoples, of all nations, of all times. He was the Lord of the new humanity. He was the savior of the world. He helped spawn the Bolshevik Revolution. He helped take godless communism to half the globe. But everything written about Vladimir Lenin, he was. I thank God we've not gathered here to celebrate that Jesus Christ lies in state in some fancy casket. But I serve a risen Savior who's in the world today, and I know that He's living whatever men may say. We serve the Christ of the empty tomb." Gary Tuchman followed me for a couple of days from CNN News, working for Andrew Cooper 360. And he would do 2 days of taping for about 4 or 5 minutes of airing. At the part of this time, he looked over and said, "Aren't you conservatives? Aren't you discouraged about what's going on in Washington?" I said, "Gary, we're concerned about Washington, but our hope is not in Washington. Our hope is in the empty tomb. And the last time I looked, Easter's still on the calendar." He, to his credit, he ended our little four-minute spot with those words. Easter is still on the calendar for a reason, because God has given us a living, resurrected hope in Christ. There's responsive reading right here. I want you to read this with me. I'll read the next slide, if you would. I'd like to read the first part, the white, and if you would read the gold. "Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep. We believe that Jesus died and rose again. Read this next time, all of us together, on the gold on the next slide, if we would. "O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? Thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The Christ of the empty tomb invites us to share the greatest news the world will ever know. Romans 8:11 says, "Do you not know that the Spirit of God, who raised Jesus from the dead, wants to give life to your mortal bodies?" He not only raised Jesus to change BC and AD, change the calendar. He not only changed history, he wants to change our destiny. He wants to resurrect. Do you not know that the Spirit of God that raised Jesus from the dead wants to give life in the present tense to your worship, to your ministry, to your marriage, to your service? He wants to resurrect something this week that Satan has tried to bury. Satan's tried to bury your faith. God wants to resurrect it. Satan's tried to bury your giving. God wants to resurrect it. Satan wants to bury your love. God wants to refresh it. You've been hurt, you've been wounded, you've been betrayed. You've been through seasons of been bruised and wounded through a rough world. And I'm telling you, from those moments, God says, I can bring a resurrection day of love and life and grace beyond your imagination. Your best days of love could be in front of you. Your finest moments of making a difference are yet to come, because there's a living God and a loving Savior who rose from the dead. He ever lives to intercede for us. Now, if he can give me a DNA code, unlike any other person, if he can resurrect my dust and give me heaven, he can resurrect this week. Jesus to Calvary did go, his love for mankind did show. What he did there brought hope from despair. Oh, how he loves you and me. The empty cross and the empty tomb remind me that God loves me more than I love my own children. My son and Randy's son went to college at Kentucky Christian for a while. He served over in Africa and Djibouti, training Ugandan troops and Ethiopian troops. After the army, he's now in the Free Burma Rangers. He's in northern Burma and Thailand, and he at times goes into the Ukraine and they help get people out that are trapped. Uses all of that military training for something that is godly, and he is absolutely engaged in mission work. He said, "Dad, while the Russians were bombing our compound, I led 7 Ukrainian soldiers to Christ in the evening while we were getting the bombings." I said, "How far away were they?" He said, "No, they're a long way away." I said, "How far?" He said, "About 500 meters. Well, we're 3 stories deep, Dad. They had no way to get to us." I said, I don't know, if you stayed a little longer, you might have had 17 new Ukrainians Christians. He said he had 7. That was his highlight. He said, led 7 Ukrainians to Jesus. I believe this. God is making a difference around the globe, and there's something happening. The greatest revival in the history of the world. While everybody is speaking darkness and chaos, out of that's going to come a resurrection moment that a living God and a loving Savior will lead. Amen. Entrust these truths to faithful men. Look down there, if you would, in verse chapter 2, closing. Once you see something, he says in verse 15, "Be diligent to present yourself to God, a workman that needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Entrust these truths. There's a creator God, there's a resurrected Savior, and his word is true. John said in John 20:31, "These have been written so that you may have life." Believing in Jesus, have life in his name. Notice something. In 2 Timothy 3:16, just look to the next chapter. All scripture is God-breathed. When God breathes, something happens. In Genesis 2, he breathed into Adam the breath of life, and he became a living soul. In Ezekiel 37, he looked over the landscape of Europe, and he could see the valley of the dry bones. It said the Jewish people were to be no more, the final solution. The bones of millions of Jewish people scattered all over Europe. He said, "I saw the valley of the dry bones, and I could see the Jewish people all in every direction. But I'm going to breathe life into them that they said was dead. They said would be no more. I'm going to breathe life and return them to the land I gave to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and they will not be moved." They were moved. God breathed into Israel. And after World War II, he placed them back into the home of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's God's land. He gave it to God's people, and they won't be moved by the United Nations or anybody else. He says there's a living God and a loving Savior who breathes. John 20, he breathed on his disciples the Holy Spirit, and they became the foundation of the church. The Roman Empire is on its knees. The Roman Empire is in the dustbin of history, and the church still stands. When communism is dead and on its knees in the dustbin of history, the church will still be shining. 2 Timothy 3, all scripture is God-breathed. He breathes at creation with Adam. He breathes at the birth of Israel and the rebirth. He breathes his word. He breathes his church. His word is true. The mission of the church at Journey as a lifeline. Through works like what we share in, we're joined at the heart. And I want to thank God for the leadership of this church, Randy, that is joining with a life-giving work that is touching a generational impact that God has created that wants to recreate. Christ has resurrected, and he wants to resurrect something this week. And God's word is alive and well. I've been rescued by grace. I've been rescued by the current. Who did Orrin Williams give his life for? The banker, the father of two? Her name is Kelly Duncan Moore, that was lifted up into the helicopter. She was the stewardess giving safety instructions before the plane lifted off. Orrin Williams did not know her personally. He was swept under the ice. His last deed was being a lifeline. I hope and pray that while God gives us life, a breath to breathe, a heart that pounds, that this church will be reaching to the broken, the least, the lepers of our world, those who are downtrodden, those who are up and out, and those who are down and out. Kelly Duncan Moore would go to a hospital, and God gave her a second lifeline, Ann Anderson. The nurse leaned over the gurney and said, "Ma'am, 74 of you started that trip. Only 6 of you made it. God's got a purpose for your life. Can I pray for you?" God gave her a second lifeline. Kelly Duncan Moore went to Southern Florida, gave her life to Christ in a life-giving church, and she teaches kids today to be a lifeline. Jesus says, "Come follow me to the nursing homes. Come follow me to the children's department, to coaching teens, to the least, the broken, the wounded, to marriages. Encourage the prodigals." I want you to bow your heads with me right now, if you would. I want you to bow your head and thank God for that person. Who did God send into your life to be a lifeline? Who, the parent, maybe they've already gone on to heaven, that grandma, that neighbor, that work friend. Who is it that would not give up on you? Thank God for them. I want you right now to ask God to give you a lifeline. Somebody that's in your world, the clerk at Kroger's, the person at Walmart that you talk to, the hairdresser, the person who does your lawn work. Who is it today that needs God's help in your life? Father in heaven, we love you and thank you. I thank you for my uncle, Johnny and Karen, that even though they've gone to be with you, they still speak through my days. I'm thankful for this church. It's been a lifeline in my work, and wherever I go and whatever I'm doing, this church is participating in the mission and the ministry of Hippo Valley. God, I thank you for youth workers in Stanton, Kentucky, like Betty and Boodle Curtis, who reached for guys like me when I didn't have sense enough to reach back, but they kept reaching and praying. Father, help us to reach. Help us to be strategic. Help us to be persistent. Fill us with the power and the wisdom of the Holy Spirit to know when to be still and when to stand, when to speak and when to be silent. Help us, God, to have the church here to become an incubator that is a warm place for young babes in Christ to grow in grace. Make this church to be a lifeline church. In Jesus' name, amen.